probably heard the saying, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. But do you know who coined it? Hi, I'm Rob West. Christian author and speaker Zig Ziglar gets credit for that famous quote. It urges us to set goals and stay on mission. What are our goals and what's our mission here at Faithvine? Well, Chad Clark fills us in today and invites you to be a part of it all. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, as executive director here at FaithFi, Chad Clark helps us all stay on mission. Chad, great to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Chad, people who hear us on the radio, perhaps visit our website and use our FaithFi app, have an idea of what we're all about. But I'd like to get very specific for a moment. Why does FaithFi exist?
Yeah, I'm grateful that I get the opportunity to talk about this because I love what we're about here at FaithFi. Our mission is to equip Christians with tools and resources to integrate faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. And the important piece about this is that the faith comes before the finances, because our vision is that Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. Because when they do, when God becomes primary in their heart, their financial decisions simply are an outflow of a love and devotion for Him. But He has to be primary, not secondary. You see, we believe that money is simply a tool. It's not inherently good or bad, but what we do with it can be good or bad.
Yeah, and that's the why behind the mission. Now, let's talk for a second about the how.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that we help people integrate their faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. One of them, the biggest piece of what we do, is this program that you're hosting every single day, Rob, and just serving our audience so well, answering questions, and just pointing them back to God as their treasure. So grateful for you and your just servant heart and taking care of our audience and our listeners every single day. You can also go to faithfi.com and get a number of different resources, articles, and videos to help you on your stewardship journey. And we've built our FaithFi app around this idea of helping you practically apply what you hear on the show and you see on our website to making financial decisions. We just launched FaithFi 4.0. It's a beautiful new redesign, and we hope that you'll check it out and see how it can help you better steward the resources God has entrusted to you. And the final thing that we do here at FaithFi is our brand new study series, which we're so excited about. We recently launched a study called Rich Toward God on the Parable of the Rich Fool earlier this year. And we're looking to launch a new study this summer on financial fear and anxiety. And these studies are designed to help you go deeper into God's word, to again treasure Him, and to see how money can be a tool to be used for His glory. So everything we do here at FaithFi is really around this idea of faith and financial integration, and we want people to grow in their faith and their ability to make wise financial decisions. And we're so encouraged when we hear stories like Courtney, who has been listening to this program, who has taken seriously the principles that she hears, and has been able to really follow the leading of the Lord when it comes to the direction He has for her life. Let's listen to Courtney's story right now.
Thank you so much for this program and everything that you do. I've just learned a tremendous amount of wisdom with finance and how to kind of tackle investments. So you always would say to save up 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund before you make any kind of crazy investment. And so I started doing that, and almost to the exact day that I saved up 6 months of an emergency fund, I lost my job and God called me into global mission. So because I had the 6 months emergency fund there, I didn't have to be frantic and look for a different job. And I was able to really focus on my ministry and go to training that I needed to do. And I expedited that entire process. And I literally leave for the mission field in January. So without this program and your advice, who knows where I would be right now. But I just wanted to call in and just say thank you so much for everything that you do.
Chad, that is why we do what we do. Now, that doesn't happen without people joining us on that mission, right?
It really doesn't. We need help from our community of faithful stewards, and I'd love to invite you to partner with us as we near the end of our fiscal year on June 30th. We're still $50,000 shy of our fundraising goals. So if you've been impacted by this ministry, I'd love to invite you to partner with us by going to faithfi.com/give and helping us continue to make stories like Courtney's possible.
That's exactly right, Chad. Really appreciate you stopping by today.
Thanks so much.
Folks, if you want to join us on this mission, as Chad said, this is a critical time for us to hear from you. To support our work, go to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give before June 30th. Back with your questions after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. On this day in Paris, 1982, a celebration of arts began. They called it Music Day and invited people to the city to enjoy a day filled with music, all for free. Several cities around the world have since joined that celebration, and music remains an important part of so many people's lives, but perhaps most of all, for the people of God. Throughout the ages, we have sung of God's work of salvation. Ephesians 5:19 tells us to keep singing, that we should speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And so today, sing a song of praise to our great God and Father. Grow in your walk with Christ with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. A quick update on that goal that we mentioned in the last segment while Chad Clark was here. So here's where we stand. Between now and June the 30th, we're trying to reach our $50,000 target. Now, two things have happened. One is that $50,000 has been matched. And so every gift is doubled up to $50,000. And we've already had $16,500 of that come in. So about $33,000 left to go. We've got about 9 days to do it. And so if you'd like to be a part of helping to fund this work, as others have gone before you, to encourage you in your giving, you can do that when you head to our website, faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com. Click give between now and June the 30th. All right, let's take your calls and questions today. We're going to be tackling whatever is on your mind financially, and we'll be talking to Jerry Boyer as well at the end. Jerry is our resident economist. He joins us each Friday with an update on the markets and the economy and the latest in corporate engagement. The number to call with your questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Georgia to begin. Elaine, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob. This is Elaine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I try to make it quick. So I am a teacher, and I have a really good side business. And so at the end of next school year, I will have 27 years. So I could technically buy my last three years, so I wouldn't get a penalty for retiring early. I would get my full retirement with no penalty. And I have a large, for me, it's $516,000 in my tax-sheltered annuity, which is separate from my teacher retirement.
Okay.
And what I was going to think about doing was taking buying the 3 years, which is about $100,000, to buy those 3 years. And my side business, I can do two or three jobs and make my teacher salary in three jobs. So am I missing something? Because I'm thinking that I can retire 3 years early, keep working and make my regular salary, plus all the money from the side business.
Yeah. No, I can see where you're going with that, and I think you've got some good thinking going on. So you mentioned it's about $100,000 for you to buy, quote unquote, these remaining 3 years to get your full teacher's retirement in addition to the annuity, which you've already accumulated. And then what would be the difference in the retirement benefit with full retirement, including the 3 years you'd purchase, versus you retiring 3 years early? Do you know what the difference is?
Yes, sir. I have a printout from Teacher Retirement, and it's about, it's almost exactly the same amount as I currently make. It should be 60% of my salary, but after they stop taking certain things out, it actually is almost exactly what I currently make.
Okay, and that's if you buy the remaining 3 years, correct? But how much would they reduce it if you didn't buy the last 3 years and you just retired early?
7% per year. So
okay.
21%.
Okay. So what is that amount you'd be getting? Is it a monthly check they'd be giving to you?
Yes.
Okay.
A monthly check for the rest of my life.
All right. And what is that amount?
It's $2,600.
Okay. So $2,600, and if you were to retire early, you would only get 79% of that, right? Because we would drop 21% off, so you'd get you'd have about $550 a month less. Now, with the $100,000 that you'd be taking out, you know, that's equivalent to if you pull 4% a year, you could do. Not quite that amount, but you could get close to it. You could get, $350, so a couple hundred dollars less in terms of what that $100 represents in the form of potential cash flow. The only reason I don't like pulling the $100,000 is a couple of things are going to happen. I assume you're under 59 and a half, is that right?
Right.
Okay, so you'd have a 10% penalty on that, and it would all be taxable. So you might be, have to take 32% more, than you would have to if you were over 59 and a half. Well, you're always going to pay the tax, but you're going to have to pull, let's say, $132,000, for example, in order to have $100,000 after the taxes are paid so you could actually buy that out. And that's expensive money. I mean, that's a 30% haircut. So what are the other alternatives? I guess option one is you continue to work the side business, but not quite as much because you continued to work your teacher job for 3 years, or you just settle for that monthly check that's 21% lower for the rest of your life. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so the difference that I'm seeing of about $550 a month, if we look at that over a year, that's $6,600 a year. And so in order to make that up, you would have to, 20 years would be right at that $132,000 that it cost you because you've got the taxes on top of the $100,000. So 20 years from now, you would, quote, be in the money, so to speak. You would have paid that back. But we also have to factor in the, you know, the fact that that money is no longer working for you for those 20 years, because if you leave the $100,000 there, it's obviously earning interest. So it's probably going to be more like, you know, 30 years before you actually have that money paid back to you. Are you following my logic here?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. So we've got two things going on. We've got this 10% penalty plus the taxes that you're going to have to account for. So you're going to have to pull more than you actually need to buy the 3 years. And you're going to have the lost opportunity cost. And that's just a fancy way of saying the $100,000 that you're taking out is no longer working for you for those next 20 years. And that's meaningful. I mean, there, you know, that's money that could be growing for you. Let's say it, you know, 6 or 7% a year, you know, if we're conservative, and we're giving that up. Now, you're going to try to make that up by working full time in your side business and replenishing that. I get that. But, you know, that's going to be a slow go. And so I guess I would just say, you know, we probably need to do a little bit more digging into this and run some more extensive calculations just to make sure you understand what you're giving up, and that it makes sense for you to go ahead and pull that $132,000 out, in my example, to cover the taxes and the penalty, in order to buy that extra $550 a month for the rest of your life, or that $6,600 a year, because it's really a math equation. And then it's ultimately going to come down to your longevity, right? If the Lord tarries, and if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. But if you're in good health, you know, are you going to live another 30 years if that's what it's going to take to kind of, quote, be in the money? So I think what I would do, is, Elaine, check with an advisor. Do you have an advisor that you've worked with in the past?
I do. I already spoke with her and got all of these printouts. And she said I could absolutely do it. But,
okay, let's do this. I've got to.
I can ask her about.
Yeah, let's finish up off the air, because I've got to hit this break. It's a great question, though, and we'll tackle, obviously, more questions just around the corner. Stay with us. Stay on the line, Lane.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit afa.net and click on Streaming.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
In a world where the culture uses media to promote an anti-biblical worldview, one studio dares to uphold a godly standard.
American Family Studios.
Encouraging audiences around the world with animation, video, and audio that advances the Christian worldview.
Through films like Summer Snow, documentaries like A Time to Speak,
and more for everyone in the family. Find out how they can impact your family's lives. Visit AmericanFamilyStudios.net today.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I've got lines open today. We'd love to take your calls and questions. What are you thinking about in your financial life? Let's help you run it through the lens of Scripture, which means we start with the fact that God owns it all, so that's lordship, and then we're stewards. Stewardship is the next big idea, that we're managers of God's resources, and then we need to live with contentment. We need to live within God's provision, and I think another big rock, if you will, is this idea that we're to be generous. After, you know, we recognize that we're to also provide and to enjoy, I think giving is really the big idea that jumps out to me in God's Word about how we're to use God's money, that His provision in part shouldn't stop with us, that it should flow through us into God's kingdom. And when we start with those big rocks and then we apply the principles we see in Scripture to the daily decisions we're making in our financial lives, well, it's a game changer. So let's talk about what you're thinking about, whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing God's money. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. I did get a chance to visit with Elaine a bit more off the air, and we talked about the fact that in addition to these financial calculations that she's going to revisit with her advisor, there's also the non-financial side. And isn't it true that whenever we're thinking about money management decisions, we've got to factor in the non-financial side, because money issues are heart issues, right? And money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and that means it's more than just the dollars and cents. And one of the ideas that we talked about with Elaine off the air was, you know, she's ready to retire from her teaching job. She loves what she's doing in her side job. It's lucrative. And there's buying, in a sense, 3 years of her life. And, you know, that's not necessarily something you can run through your calculator, but it's real. And so the idea is, she's saying, listen, if I can get my full retirement plus my side jobs, I've more than got my bills covered. I get 3 years of my life back. And if it's going to cost me $130,000 to do that, which I have the ability to make back in part or in full, depending on how long the Lord has me here, then that might be the way I'd want to go. And I get that. And that's real. So I think we've always got to look at both sides of these equations and make sure we're not just getting fixated on the numbers, because money issues are heart issues. I hope that makes sense. All right, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Georgia, actually. We'll stay in Georgia. Alan, go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
That's good. So I have a bankruptcy issue. I got about 2 months left on my bankruptcy, and it's about $1,200 a month. So I was thinking, I was talking to my wife, with that being already taken out of the income and it's going to be put back in the income, I'm trying to figure out a way to invest that money, because where I work at, we don't have a 401k. I have no kind of retirement at all.
All right.
So I'm trying to figure out, do half or I don't know anything about investing, so I just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Alan, let me just commend you before we get into this investment conversation, which is a good one, that congratulations. I mean, you know, we talk often here about the fact that there are clear warnings in Scripture around debt. You won't find the word bankruptcy in the Bible. Often folks in a difficult situation are forced into bankruptcy. But the key admonition in Scripture is the wicked borrows and does not repay. And so we need to have an absolute commitment to repay, even if we're forced into bankruptcy for legal protection. And you've done just that. You are on track to pay this off, and that's incredible. And so I would take a moment just to celebrate that, you and your wife and the work that you've done and the opportunity you now have to really move on to being that wise and faithful steward you've, I would imagine, desired to be for a long time. I think being able to take that same amount and redirect it toward asset accumulation, wealth building is a great idea. And my first thought would have been, yeah, let's get it into a retirement plan. I know you don't have one at work, but are you still a W-2 employee?
Yes.
Okay. So the first place you could go would be to open a pair of IRAs. Do you have any IRAs, individual retirement accounts?
I do not.
Okay. And what is your age?
I'll be 38 in August.
Okay.
About the same time I'm out of bankruptcy.
Okay, cool. That'll be a great birthday present. So you and your wife could each put in, and she doesn't have to work. I mean, you need to have earned income, but she can open a spousal IRA. You could each put in $7,000 a year. So that's going to give you $14,000 that you have the ability to put in for the year 2024. Now, that's right about $1,416 a month. So that's probably pretty close. Did you say you had $1,500 a month?
It was a 12-14.
Okay, good.
Is what so that is.
Yeah, and so wait a minute. No, it's 7,000 a year, so that's 14,000. Divided by 12, so that's 1,166. So you're pretty close. So that's going to allow you guys to fully fund two, and I would suggest Roth IRAs, R-O-T-H, Roth IRAs. That's going to go in after tax, which that's the money you're putting in now. You're paying your bankruptcy with after-tax dollars. And then it's going to grow tax-free for the rest of your life. Now, where do you want to put that money? Well, there's a couple of directions you could go. One of the simplest and the most cost-effective is through a robo-advisor solution. I would suggest you check out two. One is called the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Schwab Intelligent Portfolio. So it's at Charles Schwab, but it's their Intelligent Portfolios, which just means that after you answer a series of questions about your age and risk tolerance, they're going to build low-cost, indexed investment portfolios. Now, what does that mean? Well, it just means they're going to use the broad market indexes, the S&P 500 and the Russell 3000, and they're going to use a bond index, and they're going to use an international index, and they're going to build you probably a fairly aggressive portfolio because you guys are young, but it's going to be very low cost, maybe, you know, 0.25% a year, 20 basis points. And then every time you add to it, they're not going to charge any transaction costs, and they're going to rebalance the portfolio so that that new $1,200 worth of contributions, you know, between both accounts are automatically reinvested the same way. The second one is called Betterment. So either of those I think would work well for you. You can start with basically almost nothing, you know, $100, and then you could get those going. That'll get you on your way until perhaps down the road you have a company-sponsored plan. Hey, God bless you, Alan. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know Him.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Hi, this is Ron Blue, and I've personally witnessed how God is using FaithFi and the Faith and Finance program to encourage and equip people to seek God's word on how to be a faithful steward. When you support this ministry, know that your gift is being used to build and equip kingdom people. Please prayerfully consider sending a gift at faithfi.org. faithandfinance.com today.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000 for your financial questions, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Louisiana. Mike, I understand you have a comment for Elaine. Your daughter went through the same thing, right?
Yeah, I certainly did. And I don't think I heard the whole conversation, but what I heard left out a great opportunity that's in Georgia. So the penalty was still, it was 3 years. Penalty was 7% a year, 21% total. So to avoid that, she wanted to buy. Georgia allowed her, or set it up, to buy from the IRA she had accumulated through the Georgia system. No penalty, save the 10%.
Wow.
I did the math, and I said, hey, you're going to get 6% or better on this money, and you're saving the 21%. It is a no-brainer. May not apply in the state where this woman is teaching.
Yeah. She was in Georgia as well. And so if they're able to allow you to do that from the tax-deferred account and miss the penalty, and then therefore you're going to get the 21% for the rest of your life, then you're really, your only downside is that you're paying the tax now. Now, did it get added to her taxable income, the amount she used to buy it with?
No tax.
No tax whatsoever.
That's
okay.
The point.
Yeah.
None. That's the beauty of this thing.
Okay, so it wasn't just the penalty. There was no income tax on it either. Yeah, that would be a game changer if that's the case, because then the only thing you're missing is the opportunity cost on that $100,000 staying invested, and that's not going to be a guaranteed, 21%, that's for sure. So if that's the case, then, and it could be that they're doing that through the there's a variety of methods that the IRS would allow that. But that's great advice, Mike. If that's the case for Elaine, and your advisor could confirm that, which is why I sent you back to her, if there's no tax or penalty, then that's a no-brainer. You get 3 years of your life back. You get your 21% higher check for the rest of your life, and you're off to the races at that point.
That's right. And that 21% she saved was equal to, I think, a 6% return on the money or something. So it was guaranteed better than you can guarantee in the market. But
that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, Mike, I appreciate you weighing in with that. That would be a difference maker in her scenario. So thanks for calling today, sir. May the Lord bless you. Let's go out to Wyoming. Hi, Jim. How can I help?
Hello, sir. Good morning. Welcome. Well, I'm welcome to the show from Wyoming. I just had
welcome to the show.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
I was curious. I was looking at Proverbs and Psalms and Ezekiel talking about, like Psalms 15 says, he who does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. It talks in the Old Testament about getting interest off of your money. And it seems to say that it's kind of an evil thing to do. As a retired person of 68, I've been retired since I was 65. I got let go from the airline because that's how old you have to retire at as a pilot. And I was curious, is it evil to make interest off your money? Because that's how I make my living.
Yeah. And you're talking about you're charging interest to people who are you're holding loans or something?
No, it's in my IRA.
Oh, okay. But what are you doing with it? That you're just investing it in CDs or something? Or what's the interest you're describing?
Well, my advisor's been making about 15% in the current market, which has been very nice.
Yeah.
He works for a financial institution. He's my advisor. He's a Kingdom advisor.
Cool.
And he goes through investments and make sure they're biblically sound, and he makes sure that we're not supporting something wicked. And I was just curious, as he makes interest off my IRA, is that an evil thing to do, even though it's just primarily investment? And it's in bonds, it's in different stocks and different various avenues of investment.
Yeah, very good. No, I'm following you now, Jim. No, I don't think that's an apples-to-apples comparison. So the Old Testament condemned charging interest on loans to the poor and within the Jewish community. And so, you know, basically we redefine that today as prohibitions on lending at excessive interest rates. So this would be you lending money to someone at an excessive interest rate that would not be usual and customary. Now, you know, today the usury laws are gone, and it's basically been redefined as truth in lending, which basically says that as long as you disclose it, you can charge whatever you want. Now, I would say I would still apply that principle as a Christ follower, that I wouldn't want to charge an exorbitant amount and take advantage of or place a hardship on someone that I was lending money to. And so I think that's the application here. And then there is, you know, we see in Scripture as well a discussion that kind of stems from this about charging interest to a brother. But you're not lending money. You're actually taking what God has entrusted to you, and you're deploying it by investing it in companies that have real sales and earnings. You're applying a faith-based filter to that to make sure that those companies you're investing in, whether it's through equity positions, stocks, or debt positions, bonds, you're making sure those companies are aligned with your values, which is great. I love that. But I wouldn't say that in any way applies to these passages that you mentioned around usury and charging interest to someone in a way that's taking advantage of them. Does that make sense?
Okay, great. That makes perfect sense. I was pretty sure that was going to be the answer, but I just wanted to verify that because of your expertise and wisdom. And because some people have pointed to that and said that is unbiblical to make interest off your money. And I kind of figured that sound wisdom says that's what you do, because if you hoard, you're not being biblical. And if you lend your money out at a small reasonable interest, then that makes biblical sense.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, you would have to be taking advantage of someone or, you know, something like that in order to get anywhere close to what we're reading about there, I think, in the Old Testament. And to your point, you know, Jesus in Matthew 25 has a servant condemned for not placing money with bankers to earn interest. And so I think, you know, that's all the reason we need or example we need to say part of being a good and faithful steward is to take what God has entrusted to us. And if I'm not using it to provide or to give or even to enjoy, which we see in 1 Timothy, we're to put it to work. And, you know, that just is part of wise stewardship and putting that to work in a way that's God-honoring, that allows for human flourishing. Because when you're investing in companies, you know, those companies are providing a real benefit, a good or a service to mankind. And I think that's part of what we see in the creation account, that we were created to be fruitful and multiply. We were created to be workers before the fall of man. Which means we take God's creation, which has embedded in it this potential, like a seed that when planted and tended to can yield a harvest, and with sand that with ingenuity given by God can become semiconductors. I mean, we're to take God's creation and improve it and order it, and that's just a part of the admonition that was given to us by Creator God. So I think you're on the right track here, Jim, but I appreciate you asking the question. Back with more after this. Stay with us.
The United States of America was established as one nation under God. But with each passing decade, our nation strays farther from its biblical foundation. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches that if America doesn't change course, our future is dark. Discover why America must turn back to God if she wants to prosper. This week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
God has entrusted His finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started. We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in this final segment today, we always look forward to having Jerry Boyer stop by. He's our resident economist. He checks in with us weekly on the markets and the economy and updates on his work in corporate engagement. Jerry, it's been a few weeks. Good to have you back.
It's good to be with you. Hope you had a good vacation.
I had a wonderful vacation, and I know you've been on the road as well. And last time you and I were trading text messages, I think you were at the Museum of the Bible, right?
I was at the Museum of the Bible, meeting with Christian asset managers and ministries and foundations and entrepreneurs. It was a great time. More coming on that.
Well, I look forward to hearing that. I know you seemed really encouraged just by perhaps the groundswell of activity among those in the same space you are, trying to really express Christian values throughout, corporate America, right?
Yeah, there's something. AFA has been the leader here among Christian ministries in that they actually, most Christian ministries have some kind of funds. You know, they have pension plans or they have foundations, right? Because donors often give them shares of stock. But AFA is the first one to step out and say, we're going to use this not just to fund our mission, but also we're going to use the authority that comes shareholders as a source of influence. What I'm seeing is the discussion is now going on where this might become not just something that AFA is first over the wall, but that we break down the wall and it becomes normal for Christian ministries, churches, denominations, just like Christians. You know, when I was younger, I first kind of got involved politically. My first election was 1980, where I was eligible to vote. At that time, Christians were saying, hey, maybe we need to vote. And there was a discussion about that, and there was a debate. But basically, we came down, and for the most part, we said, okay, we need to vote. And it changed American politics forever. Now, the next one is, hey, maybe we need to vote our shares. Things are, in politics – you know, we were able to have an impact, but we lost the corporate world almost entirely. So maybe we need to vote there and engage. And I think what we're going to see over the next year is lots of other ministries kind of doing what AFA did and beginning to use those shares for influence. If we're going to disciple the nations, which is the mission that Jesus gave us, well, these corporations are part of what steers nations. Sometimes they're even more important than nations. So that's part of the mission.
Yeah. Jerry, would there be any recent examples you'd like to point to just by way of update?
Yeah, two things come to mind. One is I told you that there was a vote coming up at Google, Alphabet, where Planned Parenthood itself was pushing, trying to manipulate and pressure the company to suppress crisis pregnancy centers in search results. So someone would go onto Google and they would say pregnancy or unwanted pregnancy, and they would get abortion clinics, but they would also get crisis pregnancy centers. Now, there's some evidence to believe that Google was already trying to suppress those results, but the activists weren't satisfied, and they said, we need to bring more pressure to bear on Google to suppress those results. And so Planned Parenthood and another group called Mercy Investment, look, there's a lot of mainline church money. A lot of faithful Christians from the past, from these denominations, are pushing this stuff, which is really a tragedy. They tried to pressure Google in this direction. They got less than 7% support. That is the lowest support level we have ever seen from anything coming from the pro-abortion camp. In fact, you go back 2 years, and they were getting 35 and 40% support, near majorities. On some of these proposals. And there was engagement. We were part of it, and others were part of it. The proxy advisory services listened to reason and stopped supporting these things. And collapse for pro-abortion proposals has been severe. So that's a tactic I expect to disappear. They lost decisively on that, and Google was just, I think, the last straw for them. So if they're getting those low votes, if they're going from 40% support down to 7% support, that is a complete rout for, and let me tell you how it works, why it collapsed, because it was sneaky. So we're not powerful. We're not BlackRock. We don't have $10 trillion, the people we work with. But we do have the ability to expose what's going on, which you and I do every Friday. And a lot of this is just exposing things. So something might be worded as risk of doing business in a conflict zone, but you read the details and is trying to divest from Israel, right? Or something might be reading as, you know, a risk of misinformation in search engine results. And what they really mean is misinformation is, you know, if someone's looking for, if they Google something about abortion, I guess it's misinformation if they get a crisis pregnancy center. You know, they just, so they give it these innocuous sounding names and then people robotically vote for it. But by exposing it now, people say, oh, wait a minute, that's a pro-abortion resolution, or that's an anti-Israel resolution, or that's a pro-transition surgery for minors resolution. I had no idea. And once it's exposed, then collapse, you know, support begins to collapse.
Yeah, really interesting, Jerry, and pretty encouraging to see and hear what took place. What's the second example?
The second example, I kind of give them both. Google was kind of the last example and of the complete collapse of these pro-abortion. Another would be, this might be a small one, but, you know, last year I asked a question at the Lululemon board meeting, which is, hey, you've got a problem with shoplifting, but you fired employees for yelling at shoplifters and calling the police.
Right.
And they said, we have a zero tolerance policy for shoplifting and good relationship with the police. So I followed up and said, well, yeah, but you gave to the BLM Foundation. Then the founder said, I'm fine with looting. And you gave to Reclaim the Block, which tried to defund the police. So how is that zero tolerance? So we asked again this year. It was Isaac Willauer, our new associate, who asked the question this year, and they revealed that they're no longer supporting those organizations.
Wow.
So just sometimes just a question that trips up the CEO a little bit, and afterwards the CEO says, what did we do? What? hey, look into this. And they find out that a retailer was giving money to organizations that think it's just – you know, fine to steal from retailers. Once you expose something like that, then sometimes they actually take action.
Yeah, probably not the best strategy for a retailer. All right, Jerry, let's pivot to the markets and the economy. Bring us up to speed from the last couple of weeks.
Well, so you saw that there was a situation where the Fed had indicated, well, maybe we're only going to do one rate cut rather than two. And then the market saw some inflation data that was tame, and they thought, well, we think the Fed's going to kind of cave in and do two rate cuts, despite what they said. The market said to the Fed, we don't believe you, right? And you know, we don't believe you is a pretty good bet when it comes to the Fed, because they change their mind every week, it seems. And so that kind of helped buoy markets up. But today we found out that housing prices have gone up a lot, highest on record. Of course, in an inflationary period, everything's the highest on record, but really high. And that means markets reacted to that by saying, well, if housing prices are high, the Fed's probably going to have to fight inflation. And they think the way to fight inflation is to slow down the economy. So markets take, you know, those that are interest rate sensitive, like the NASDAQ today sold off and gold sold off. So this is one of these things where there was a story at the beginning of the week. Fed will probably be a little loose. You know, the party will keep going, and then something, a new data point appears today, and then everyone has to change their story because they think the Fed's probably going to change its mind. We're just back to that, you know, what James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you give a central bank enormous power and you give it conflicting mandates, then what you're going to get is going back and forth between those conflicting mandates and markets responding, going back and forth as well. But the instability, to me, is not in the markets. It's in our ruling class, especially our central bank.
Yeah, very helpful, Jerry. You know, we're going to hear, of course, the presidential debate next week. And, you know, as we think about the path forward, I guess based on the polls today, you might think that President Trump is going to regain the office. That remains to be seen, of course. But we know President Biden's strategy. What we're hearing from President Trump is that, you know, he wants to deregulate, create an environment that's pro-business. He wants to keep taxes low. We also see he wants to bring tariffs into the equation. How do all those things work together in light of the inflation that we're experiencing today? And is that going to be challenging?
Well, I think that if we go with tariffs, we're going to increase prices because that's a direct tax on transactions. And I don't think that part of the agenda is really right. I think a lot of the agenda is right, but I don't think the tariff agenda is right. I don't think protectionism is the right approach. And look, I live in Pittsburgh, right? So, you know, that's very popular around here and it's popular in some parts of the country. I think that it kind of deals with the symptom rather than the disease. So I think the disease is when you have fiat currencies and dollars getting stronger or weaker, it affects trade patterns in ways that are not helpful. So I think American workers have been hurt, but I don't think they need a cheat like a tariff to say, oh, well, we're going to give you a boost. I think they need stable currency. All the American workers need is to not have their government working against them. So let's stop government from working against them with high taxes and unstable currencies and all of the rest of it. And then we can revisit whether we need tariffs and protection. I actually don't think we need protection. We're an extremely productive workforce. So that's part of the Trump agenda that I'm not really crazy about. I do like the deregulation. I think that's well-trodden. That's always been good for the economy. And I think lower taxes would be good for the economy. And remember, the Trump tax cuts, they expire. If he doesn't get reelected, their taxes are going to go up a lot. And I think that's a real problem. And by the way, some of the other new data we have is $1.9 trillion deficits. Deficits.
Yeah.
You don't have to go back far before the entire debt was a couple of trillion dollars. Now it's adding. Now we're at the deficit. People get confused. What's the difference between the national debt and the deficit? The deficit is basically how much we add to the national debt every year.
Yes, right.
So we are now adding something like $2 trillion to the national debt every year. That is not sustainable. Yeah. So we've got problems ahead. I'm glad a lot of Christians are listening to this show every Friday and getting savings and an emergency fund, because eventually that debt's going to come home to roost, and I hope Christians are ready for it.
I'm grateful that
you're helping them get ready for it.
Well, thanks, Jerry, and we'll have a lot more to talk about next week. Have a great weekend, my friend. God bless you.
Same to you. God bless.
All right, that's Jerry Boyer. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for being with us today. Big thanks to my team today, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.